Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America. I'm your host, Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's one and only progressive talk station on an amazing Portland day. These are the days that we live for. 92 degrees out there in Portland. I took my motorcycle and the air was so warm. I've got a t-shirt on. I've got shorts on and I was just flying through the air. It was like floating. It is so beautiful when it is beautiful here and it's so nasty when it's nasty. That's all I have to say on that point. I want to move on to our next topic. First of all, I want to thank all the callers. I want to thank Jason Ben-Levy for being our guest in the last hour, talking about the singularity. If you didn't catch it and you want to know what we were talking about, check out a film called The Transcendent Man. You want to know what's going on with this. It will slackjaw you. It certainly slackjawed me. In the first hour, though, we were talking a little bit about how wherever you go, whether you're, you know, in the UK or France or Australia or wherever you go, it seems particularly wherever you go in the Western world that the bankers are taking over, that the ultra-rich seem to have gotten control of just about everything. And I go back to Cicero's idea of freedom. What is freedom? Well, freedom is the participation in power. Well, it looks as if the ultra-rich have essentially excluded us from the process of sharing power. And we talk a lot about that in this country in terms of the middle class being under attack. And it is of great concern. But one of the sectors of society that has always been under attack, that has always been getting screwed, is the poor. And not since Robert F. Kennedy have we discussed the state of poverty in America. It seems that this country has turned its back on the poor. The poverty is the dirty little brother that you never want to pull out and show your friends. But the reality is that 12 million people have slipped into poverty since 2000. And the stats on poverty are staggering. What's happening in this country in terms of poverty is staggering. But no one is talking about it except two men that we know about. They are Dr. Cornel West and Tavis Smiley. Very briefly, before I bring on Al Nowakowski, who joined up with Cornel West and Tavis Smiley on their poverty tour, let me tell you a little bit about Cornel West if you don't know who he is. Cornel West is a prominent and provocative Democratic intellectual. He is a class of 1943 university professor at Princeton University. He was tenured at Princeton and Harvard and I believe Yale for quite some time. He's written 19 books. He has edited 13 books. I, on my trip to Scotland, recently read Democracy Matters by Cornel West. If you haven't read this book, I strongly recommend it because it is a harsh criticism of where we are at in this country, but it is ultimately hopeful, ultimately individualistic about what will happen when we come together as individuals and marshal our democratic energies. And that's what Dr. Cornel West has done in crafting this poverty tour with Tavis Smiley. Tavis Smiley, if you don't know, he's a talk show host. He's an author. He's also a kind of an outspoken liberal political commentator. You can see him. He has his own radio show. He has his own television show. And he and Cornel West have come together to do something that they call the Poverty Tour. The Poverty Tour. Let me just give you a few stats before we go on to Al, because we're going to hand this over to Al, because we have two really great segments. He caught up with them, and he's going to tell us about it. But here are some stats. Approximately 45 million Americans in poverty in 2009. 45 million Americans in poverty. Where do you think the gutted middle class is going? The eviscerated middle class is not moving upward. We have a downward mobility society when it comes to economics, and maybe just about in every other aspect. We need to change this. The number of Americans on food stamps surpassed 41 million people. As of June, the number of Americans on food stamps has set an all-new record of 19 consecutive months. One out of every six Americans is now being served by at least one government anti poverty program, and one in four children go to bed hungry in this country every night. So yes, we need to talk about what's happening to the middle class, but we also need to talk about poverty in this country, because when we raise the least among us, to quote a familiar source, we raise all boats. So now I want to go to Al Nowakowski. Al Nowakowski in the windy city of Chicago. How are you today, Al?
Oh, doing well, boss. Great to have you back in the country. I'm glad they let you back in.
Yeah, well, yes, that's right. There was a moment there. No, there really wasn't. But every once in a while, my wife looks at me like, God, you're going to get us in trouble one day. Someday, I know you're going to end up on one of those no-fly lists with your big mouth flapping. I don't know. I might even... No, I'm not going to say it. So tell me, how have I handled this? Tell me, have I set up this poverty tour? Should we talk a little bit about it? I think I have some copy. You want to take over the reins here? Talk about the poverty tour. They call it the poverty tour, a call to conscience. Tell us a little bit about what Smiley and West were doing and all.
Well, I think the fact that they can even... They would even think of launching something like this is really reflective of the times, and I think you nailed it, too. I mean, we're not just talking about a dip in consumer confidence or, you know, a slight raise in inflation. I mean, this is a real and serious problem, especially with, you know, as we've seen in globalization, our manufacturing base leaving the country. Because that's the first thing I thought of. I mean, you know, the parallels with Dr. King's work, you know, come to mind immediately. But these are definitely different times. I mean, when Dr. King went to Memphis in support of the sanitation workers, I mean, we still had the opportunity. We still had a manufacturing base and an opportunity to rise into the middle class with good union jobs. And as you stated earlier in the show, boy, that's been pretty much, you know, eviscerated as well. But, you know, Tavis Smiley and Cornel West, God love them both, both very gracious gentlemen. Kat and I hit the road. We caught up with them at St. Sabina on the south, near southeast side of Chicago. And if that doesn't ring a bell, maybe the pastor there, Father Michael Flager, a Catholic priest who definitely, in the tradition of people like Dorothy Day, believes in social and economic justice. And they build it mostly as a listening tour. They hit 14 cities in a week. We caught up with them before the actual event at St. Sabina. The church was filled to the rafters, a very warm and welcoming. You know, there was a real camaraderie within the crowd that we noticed immediately. But we got an opportunity to speak with Cornel and Tavis prior to the event, and what you're going to hear is some clips of that interview interspersed with some of their presentation to the packed house at St. Sabina.
You have two pieces for us.
Right. And initially you'll hear Tavis talking about the whole genesis of the tour and why he thought it was important, why they thought it was important to do it.
I might get into that in the next segment because we're running a little short on time. We have the whole hour for this. I want to read from the Poverty Tour website. I think if you go to thepovertytour.cornelwestandtavissmiley.com, you can find it, or you can just Google the Poverty Tour. Here's the copy. Tavis Smiley and Dr. Cornel West just finished a road trip to highlight the plight of poor people of all races, colors, and creeds, so they will not be forgotten, ignored, or rendered invisible during this difficult and dangerous time of economic deprivation and political cowardice. I do sense in this that there is a certain frustration. There was an expectation, I think, certainly coming from Cornel West, who was so close with President Obama while he was just candidate Obama, that there really was going to be from this administration a turn toward the poor, that there would be some level of caring. And that in many ways, this is kind of their nonviolent protest against the complete lack of regard that they feel is coming from the Obama administration as it relates to the poor. Am I right on this, Al?
I think that's an accurate assessment. And I think they've already, you know, paid a pretty strong price for it. They've been accused of it being personal. They've been accused
right.
of hurt feelings. And I, you know, in the second segment I have, it's mainly centers on the politics around the tour and what's happened. But, you know, I keep thinking if you're looking for something that's self-aggrandizing or self-promoting, you really don't put together a tour highlighting the least among our fellow citizens in this country. So some of that didn't really ring true, and you really can't get past the fact that it's a problem. I mean, it's never going to be a good political time to talk about the poor in this country. But I think, it's the old phrase is we're only as strong as our weakest link. So, you know, I think it really is reflective of the state of this country and, post-globalization, free trade, all the items that really make us mad as hell. And we see our fellow citizens slipping into poverty.
Yeah, I think that there's a real disappointment that we all feel with this administration, hoping that they were going to do more to care, as you say, for the least of these. There's something really important about that because we are of conscience. This is also from and this is called a poverty tour, a call to conscience. This is a quote that's featured on the site. Quote, I choose to live with the underprivileged. I choose to identify with the poor. I choose to give my life for the hungry. I choose to give my life for those who have been left out of the sunlight of opportunity. This is the way I'm going. If it means suffering a little bit, I'm going that way. If it means sacrificing, I'm going that way. If it means dying for them, I'm going that way because I heard a voice saying, do something for others. That's from Martin Luther King. I believe that if we have any hope in this country of resurrecting the moral standing that we once aspired to, it's going to take actions like this at a national level. That if we were focusing our attention on things like this, we would heal so many other things in the wake of our concern for the least among us. I think that's very much the point of this. It was billed as an anti-Obama tour. This has nothing to do with President Obama, no, except his complete and utter failure to care for the least of us.
And if we didn't have the bank bailout to contrast, and how quickly, you know, billions, if not trillions of dollars could be directed toward that, I don't think it would be that much of a flap. But, you know, you said there hasn't been that kind of marshaling of forces at a governmental level to address these systemic and endemic problems, you know, that we have of economic inequality in this country.
We're talking to Al Nowakowski. He is our roving reporter in the Windy City, who is going in the next two segments to bring us a couple of pieces. He hooked up. That doesn't only the young people. I shouldn't say that. He joined up with Dr. Cornel West and Tavis Smiley on their poverty tour, A Call to Conscience. They have lots to say about where we are as a country in terms of our conscience. They have a lot to say about who we are economically and the failure of this administration and the dash hopes that we all share, that we were hopefully going to resurrect something of our conscience in this new century. We're going to be back to talk about that and more with Al Nowakowski. This is Mad as Hell in America. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. I'll be right back.
And my friends, I have one in it, but if I ever get.
And I think more and more working class persons who thought they had a secure existence recognize that their plight is more and more tied to the plight of poor people, mm-hmm, and tied to the plight of working poor people. So we're experiencing now the early stages of a kind of shift in perception in the United States.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. The music cue was Bessie Smith. I don't think you can talk about poverty in this country without talking about the blues, which come out of real suffering, an anthem for poverty and suffering in this country. That was Bessie Smith singing Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out. Isn't that the truth? Nobody seems to even be talking about the poor in this country, except those of us here at Mad as Hell in America. And of course, Dr. Cornel West, who was essentially saying that we're seeing a shift. We're seeing a shift from a decimated, eviscerated middle class shifting downwards into poverty. So if you think that this doesn't affect you or your neighbors, you're wrong. Because what we've got now is an economically downwardly mobile society. We are, many of us, moving downward economically. And unless we start having this conversation, we're all going to be peasants, man. And we need to start talking about this, and we need to start talking about truth to power. And I think what Dr. Cornel West and Tavis Smiley have done in starting their poverty tour, A Call to Conscience, is to try to address this nonviolently, not from the point of view of attack or blame or condemnation, but to simply reach out to the people who are suffering the most in our society. And as Al Nowakowski says, listen. Al Nowakowski, our roving reporter in the Windy City, back on the show. Welcome back, Al.
Thanks, Adam. So, I heard that clip when you said it, when Cornell was saying a change of perception, and I think that's just all born out of pure economic terror. I mean,
right.
If you don't know somebody right now who's hit hard times, you know, if you haven't yourself, you probably do. It's kind of like our healthcare system too. Right now, you everybody pretty much knows somebody who's really taken it on the chin or other places, if you will, just trying to get by.
So 2 years ago in 2009, 45 million Americans were living in poverty. The U.S. poverty rate is now the third worst among the developed nations, tracked by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. The third worst among developed nations. One in five children in the United States is now living in poverty. I don't have stats here for women, but it's always women and children that get hit the hardest by these things. I love what they have done. So before we roll your clip, just give us a visual. Where were you? Where did you catch up with Dr. Cornel West and Tavis Smiley? Where were you when you interviewed him? Just give us a setup. We got lots of time in this segment.
Well, it was St. Sabina. It's a Catholic church. Actually, it's at 79th and Racine. That's the southeast side of Chicago. Again, I mentioned in the last segment how the pastor there is Father Michael Flager, who is certainly a pillar of strength and advocacy for social and economic justice in this city and certainly nationwide. So he hosted it. We had a absolute full house, and this is an older Catholic church, so there was plenty of space in it, and a mixed crowd, predominantly African-American, but, you know, there were certainly people of all races there, and again, a camaraderie that we felt when we hit, you know, the last time most significantly was certainly in Madison when we were up there for the protest, where you just have a large group of people and you can feel kind of a unity of purpose within them. And again, we had the opportunity to come in and talk to both of them prior to the actual event. And they don't really hold back, boy. They'll tell you what's on their mind. And again, what we'll hear is our conversation with them prior, interspersed with some of the segments from the actual presentation.
Well, once again, I have run my mouth off and run up. This is our short segment. We're going to run both of your segments together in the next and third segment. If somebody has a call, we can keep talking about this forever because I think it's incredibly important subject. If somebody wants to call in, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620 are the numbers. If you want to have something to add, in the next segment, we're going to run through both of Al's clips. This is what are your impressions of, are you struggling in poverty? Or do you know someone who is struggling? I can't imagine that there aren't people who don't know someone who is really struggling in this. And what's so frustrating about it, Al, is that it seems so unnecessary. It makes me think back to what I was talking about in the first segment, that this whole debacle, this shill game, this shell game, this nonsense about this debt ceiling that threw the whole world economy into a panic that resulted in our credit being downgraded. It's just sheer madness.
Well, plus opening the door for even more draconian cuts to our social safety net. So I agree with you. I mean, this whole myth that we're broke, we're still the largest economy in the world, it's a myth, and we know it's a myth.
We got about 2 minutes left, and I got a call on the board. I appreciate it. Michael, welcome to Mad as Hell in America.
Well, I'm trying to figure out just where this middle class is coming from. You got 50% of the people in the United States depending upon a government check of one sort or another.
So, and what is wrong with that government check? Since they paid into the system that they're receiving checks from.
Because what is happening is, in the last few years, the so-called middle class has been the chosen class of people, really. Military now is coming up above what is on the outside. And then we have education, where the instructors, they got their raises. And when you go to university now, I mean, it's propaganda. They don't.
So what's your point, Michael?
Well, when we talk about middle class, and then we talk about the poor, what is the middle class? Two people working within the government system?
No, middle class is what? I think it's about 50 to 60,000 and above. These aren't people that are rich. These are people that have to work two incomes, right? A mother and a father, or two partners working two incomes to support a family. These are not people on handouts. These are not people on checks. These are people working to try to make ends meet, Michael. That's who I think they are. I will not blame them for what's wrong with our society or our economic system. They are not the culprits. We will now no longer blame the victims here. When we come back, we're going to be, thanks for the call though, Michael, we're going to be talking to Al Nowakowski. We're going to play both of his segments. He caught up with Dr. Cornel West and Tavis Smiley on their poverty tour, A Call to Conscience. This is Matt Esel in America. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive station. That is George Clark singing Prisoner's Blues. Al Nowakowski, welcome back to the show. So I ended up just blabbing and blabbing and eating up all the time for your segments. We got a long segment here. Al caught up with the poverty tour, A Call to Conscience. Dr. Cornel West and Tavis Smiley on the road addressing the issue of poverty. Al Nowakowski is our reporter. Anything you want to say, or should I just roll it out?
Go ahead and roll it, boss, because I know we'll just get to talking again.
You're right.
You'll be hearing from Tavis first.
Here we go.
We, as the American people, have not pushed this issue high enough on the agenda. And in these difficult and uncertain times, in this moment of economic deprivation and political cowardice, we're going to see more people falling into the ranks of the poor. The new poor in this country are the former middle class. And when you have a president or a Congress that won't even say poor, won't even say poverty, much less do anything about it.
Congress in this country, as we know far too well, has the power constitutionally to declare war. And they've done it too many times. Dr. King once said about the Vietnam War, he would say it today, were he here, that war is the enemy of the poor. War is the enemy of the poor. This Congress too often has declared war on other countries. They've declared war once again. This legislation, to me, is nothing more than a declaration of war, but this time a declaration of war on the poor. That's what this is, a declaration of war on the poor.
We started this tour, as we should have, on an Indian reservation. We started with our Native American brothers
and
sisters.
That's right.
On the Lakota Array Reservation in Wisconsin. Here on the south side of Chicago, with African Americans, obviously. We were in Joliet today with a bunch of Hispanic brothers and sisters who are warehouse workers being maltreated as blue-collar workers. We're going to 16 different stops. And
poor white brothers and sisters in West Virginia.
We're going to West Virginia to talk to coal miners. And we're staying three nights on this tour. We're staying with poor people. We are doing more listening than we're doing talking on this tour. And the listening that we do gives us the information that we need to use access to these media platforms to tell their story and to put some heat on the body politic.
And what we're trying to do is try to bring back to the best of our ability in these very different circumstances a legacy of Martin King that tries to create a coalition between poor people, working people, those tied in the prison industrial complex, and people of conscience.
Post-globalization,
with the manufacturing sector leaving the United States, what really can we rely upon?
You've got the financial sector now. They got 42% of the profits. Right? So you've got to have some kind of regulation of that sector so you get a significant transfer of their wealth into government-driven infrastructural projects, jobs programs, job training programs, which means you have to make the case that government can be a force for good. And we right now, as you know, we got a Republican Party with catastrophic mean-spiritedness and a Democratic Party of milquetoast spinelessness.
Post Citizens United.
Yeah.
How?
I mean, because I've heard you, and one of the most poignant things
I've heard you say is bear witness.
Exactly right. But bear witness means that you begin to tap into the unpredictable capacity and potential of poor and working people. It might simply take the form of massive civil disobedience. We're thinking seriously of what Martin was trying to do in 68, just bringing poor people to Washington, tents and all, Hoovervilles and all, and just stay there as a presence and say, you know what? That as you oligarchs and plutocrats and your politicians reflect on the future of the nation, we count, and we are here. And what you gonna do with us? Now, if you just crush us, then it's very clear. You're just oligarch, plutocrats, and your democracy doesn't mean that much to you.
$300 billion in the last 25 years spent on the prison industrial complex when we're told we can't find the money. But when you need more jails and you need more prisons, or you need a war in Iraq and Afghanistan and dropping bombs in Libya, you can find the money overnight. But you can't find the money when it comes to poor people, education, their jobs, their housing.
People ask me why I put on a three-piece suit in my cemetery clothes.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America. That was the report number one from Al Nowakowski, our roving reporter in the windy city of Chicago, who caught up with Dr. Cornel West and Tavis Smiley. That was really great, Al. Welcome back to the show, by the way, Al Nowakowski.
Thanks, boss.
Yeah, it was interesting to me, you know, that there was just this fundamental outrage that I heard in there. First of all, I love the idea of Cornel West coming on and saying, you know, we're going to bring the poor to Washington. Then you can see you're going to have to choose. But then I don't know who was speaking, but you know, just this fundamental outrage that, you know, we don't have money to help the poor, but we got money for wars in Iraq. We got money for all kinds of things.
That's Cornel.
And
that was Cornel.
That outrage is just. Just fantastic. Yeah, well, I want to move on. So that was kind of the content portion of it. And then you went and you broke the segment up into, you know, kind of now we're going to get the political backdrop. We're going to talk to Tavis. You go and talk to Tavis and to Cornel and interview them in depth a little bit about the politics of their choice. So why don't we roll that before the break?
Poor are being rendered more and more invisible in this country, and we want to make sure that as we move toward this presidential campaign, that President Obama and all those who are seeking to unseat him, that is, in this campaign, we're going to have to talk about poverty. We can't pass debt-ceiling legislation that doesn't extend unemployment benefits at all, doesn't close a single corporate loophole, doesn't raise 1 cent of new revenue on the rich or the lucky, so that corporations and Wall Street and the banks once again get away scot-free.
You said refuse to talk about. What do you attribute that to?
I attribute it to political point scoring and that it polls better, it tests better, when you talk about the middle class, again, ignoring the fact that the new poor are the former middle class. So at some point, you're going to have to talk about the poor.
I was asked by the Chicago Tribune the other day if our coming to Chicago, Dr. West, was because we wanted to rub this in President Obama's face. Are we trying to demonize, cast aspersion on the president because he's from Chicago? Is that why the Tribune asked me if we're coming to Chicago? Why are you coming here? I first of all said, why not? I secondly told him I didn't stop going to Texas. When Bush was president, I ain't gonna stop coming to Chicago because Obama was in the White House. This is not about Barack Obama. It's not personal, it's principle. It's not personal, it's principle.
Barack Obama had chosen Paul Krugman, Robert Kuttner, and Joseph Stiglitz as his economic team rather than Larry Summers and Tim Geithner. The legacy of Martin King would have been stronger, and he wouldn't be in his mess because he would have nipped in the bud this right-wing populism that began as an anti-Wall Street movement that highlighted the corruption of the government by oligarchs. Well, the Tea Party is right about the corruption of the government by oligarchs. But you need progressives like Kuttner and Stiglitz and Krugman and a host of others to tell that story. He chose the wrong team, and now he's in a mess, and the chickens have come home to roost. When he first was elected, he had a choice. He's got to teach the American people, look, we're in a mess because the greed of Wall Street has pushed us nearly off a cliff, and here is the story and the narrative that I'm promoting, that Kuttner, that Stiglitz, and that Krugman, which is to say, they were telling the truth. That's all, they were telling the truth. Mm-hmm. That Summers and Geithner were not telling the truth because they tied to oligarchic allies who are concerned with profits rather than both truth, and the truth is tied to the suffering of poor and working people.
We want to make sure that we stay on a spiritual and moral plane that has to do with focusing on poor people as opposed to being obsessed with being anti-X or anti-Y. This is not an anti-Obama tour. If you have that energy, and that feminine energy has to do with how deep your love is. And our problem is, we just don't have enough folk who love poor people.
You're listening to Mad as Hell in America. I'm your host, Adam Klugman. That was a segment put together by Al Nowakowski. Al Nowakowski, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Adam. And I also have to definitely shout out our masters of the social media, Kat Jarboe. If it's anything in Chicago, you know we're both putting it together.
Oh, I wasn't aware that Kat was in on this one.
Oh,
Kat Jarboe, thank you so much. You guys always do great stuff in Chicago. You know, well, there's so much to respond to. I mean, I think I want to take the first thing last before we're going to have to say goodbye. But the first thing was, you know, what we need is a great love. And what we don't have is enough people who love poor people. We don't have enough folk who care. Caring seems to have gone out of fashion. But he also said when he was talking about Obama's appointments, this whole idea that it's not a poverty, that an anti-Obama tour, but they take it as anti-Obama because they're downright defensive, and they should be because they've blown it. They've blown it, and I think sometimes that Barack Obama has lost One of the greatest opportunities this country has seen since FDR to change direction. He has lost one of the great moments in American history and failed to turn this country around. Al Nowakowski and Kat Charbeau, thank you guys so much for the work you did on this. Anything you need to add, Al?
Well, it's good to help get it out with a louder voice and let people know that there are people concerned about the least among us in our country and are not going to be swayed by political pressure.
If you like what you heard, send an email to Al at Mad as Hell in America, to Kat at Mad as Hell in America. Let them know, because they work real hard on this stuff, and I think they just get super results out there in the field, really looking for the stories that are about revitalizing our democracy. Al Nowakowski, thank you so much. Kat Charbeau, thank you so much. In the Windy City, you guys enjoy your day out there, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, boss. Good to have you back.
When we come back in the next segment, I've got a question for you. I've got a question for you about this show. I'm going to talk a little bit about some criticisms that were been leveled at me, not harsh criticism. Maybe I take them as criticisms. Maybe they're suggestions. I want to get your opinion. I'd love for you to call in, or you can send me an email, but I've got the question for you when we come back. You're listening to Mad as Hell in America. I'm your host, Adam Klugman. This is AM 620 KPOJ, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America. I'm your host, Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk show. We are back after 3 weeks off, and I must say that I have had a phenomenal time here. I missed it. I missed you guys. I'm sorry. I think this show has the smartest callers in the country. The people that call into the show, the level of discussion that we have here, does anybody out there disagree? Come on. Now, I know Tom's a smart guy, and he's got a bigger brain than I've got. And, you know, he's got some smart callers. But, you know, our callers, not only are they smart, they're hip. You know, and we're just Portland. He's got a whole country. We're just Portland. And it just reminds me of what an incredibly cool town Portland is. How lucky we are to live in a progressive place like Portland, Oregon, to have a radio station like that, to have a Joe like me here and other people at KPOJ that make this a truly progressive kind of flagship station for the country. I'm full of gratitude. I like to end each show with gratitude, but I do have a question. I promised you a question, and I'm going to put to you a question. I don't think we have the time. I'll give you the numbers, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. You can send me an email to answer this question. If we don't have time for the call, at Adam at Mad as Hell in America. Easy, or you can chime in on Facebook. Go to Facebook, type in Mad as Hell in America, and boom, you're there. So here's the question. Here's the criticism that's been leveled at me. Or at the show. You know, it's not really like an AM talk show like Tom or Ed or Randy. It's a little bit more like an NPR type of show. You know, that there isn't enough of the daily commerce of political chit-chat or gossip or whatever it is you want to call it. And, you know, I've heard it before, and I actually wear the moniker of more like an NPR show. That's kind of what I want to do. I want to think more deeply. I mean, what I don't want to do is kind of carve off the raw, bloody meat of the news of the day and kind of just heave it out into the crowd uncooked. I mean, one of the benefits of having a show that's on weekly is that I get to think about it, that I get to choose one topic and go more deeply into that. Do you sometimes wish, as a listener of this show, do you sometimes wish that I would spend more time on more individual subjects, that it was a little bit more like a topical rip-and-read kind of show? Do you come to this show for information, or do you come to this show to think? What do you think? You can call me. We've got about 3 minutes left. 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620 are the numbers. Do you like the show the way it is? Do you think I should switch up the format? Should I spend more time kind of focusing on the news of the day? Because, frankly, that isn't what really interests me. And I understand if you're doing a daily show, you kind of have to do that. But on a weekly show, man, I want to think more. All right, I got a call on it. John, welcome to Matt. John? John, welcome to Matt as Hell in America. So you got an opinion. What do you think?
Well, I missed most of your speaker, but we have bought into the General Electric advertisement of progress as our most important product, and we haven't understood that technology is non-neutral. And there's always a downside, but we don't want to think about that just as a culture.
I see. You're responding to the last thing. I agree. I mean, the point on technology is a good one. I don't know if you're a regular listener of the show. I put out the question whether or not you felt like I should be doing more of the rip and read from the daily news, or do you like the format the way it is?
I think you've got a good format. I listen to you every once in a while. I've had some guests, and so I only caught about probably 45 minutes of your three-hour program today. But I would like to just mention, I think we're not looking at the extraction economics that's going on enough. From our trade policy, where the Chinese have a 2% tariff. No, we have a 2% tariff on their stuff, and they have a 35% tariff on ours, and the loss of jobs, and then the...
You know what, John? I'm going to let you go. I got one call. I think somebody's going to answer my question. Thank you. Luke, you got an answer to my question. What do you think? Should I be more news-driven, or do you like the show the way it is?
Well, you know, you think that I'd come with an overly aggressive, you know, but I see the way the country is starting to fall into... Just, you know, just ilk. I mean, you got to get up and get off your feet. Look, I'm ready to run against Obama. It's so damn bad out there. And that's not me pushing that. Actually, believe it or not, these local nutty tea partiers suggested that I should run for president.
Luke, I might just vote for you. Listen, thanks so much for the call. Thanks for listening, Luke. Thanks to all of you for listening. Portland, I will be back next week with a brand new show. Like I said, I'm ending my show full gratitude for having a show in a city as cool as Portland, Oregon. This is Adam Klugman. You're listening to Mad as Hell in America on AM 620 KPOJ. We'll be back next week.